and here we are. Or here I am, because I don't hear anyone talking.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong, but sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around, and you know that when I fall, I can't help myself at all, and I get about a ramming man, put a cold one in my hand, 'cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. Don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry, 'cause I'll get all
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight is the Section 8 Power Hour. I'm the preacher. You got Justin, Dustin, and Stephen Bradley. Where are you guys at? Dustin, you on?
I'm on.
Justin, you on?
Yup.
Stephen, you on?
Yes, sir. Well, actually, I'm fucking off, but I'm here.
Oh, well, that's fucking... That's nice. Okay, so I got a little idea from our good friend Nick, who's a calling out from Boston, and I think what did he say he wanted me to do? The headline of the evening, the Girl Scouts, the most evil corporation in the world. You be the judge. We'll talk about it. So, guys, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Tonight we're going to be talking to Landon Steele, better known as Doc, who's huge in the veteran community. Does a lot of great things for a lot of awesome veteran services organizations, most directly with veteran suicide prevention and awareness, and a lot more than that. And so he's going to get into that and kind of give us a rundown. And then we're going to also play the interview with Jeff Kyle that we did yesterday. So let's go around the horn and find out what's new. Justin, what's new in your world? Anything you want to rant on? I think we're gonna do this from now on. Opening segment, we're gonna go off on one little tangent. So I'm gonna let you. We're gonna call this the soapbox minute. Justin, you've got exactly 1 minute on your soapbox, starting now.
My soapbox has to start with I follow the Stolen Valor page, and September the 11th at the memorial there in New York, they caught some motherfucker stealing valor right there at the memorial. 5 feet from
wait,
a fucking
a
law enforcement officer. Didn't even fucking know what was going on.
At Ground Zero?
What?
Some guy was committing stolen valor at Ground Zero?
Yes. On September the 11th. It's on their page. I will share it through Heartbreakers and Life Takers as soon as I'm off my soapbox. But this shit, it's fucking, it pisses me off almost more than anything. And there's got to be a fucking end to it. If you were to grab a law enforcement badge, just a badge, put it on your belt, and say you're a cop and you're not a cop, you can do prison time. There has to be fucking standards. There's a list of shit that has to go on for anybody that puts on a military uniform, claims all of this shit, and they never even fucking served. If they don't get any kind of fucking money handouts or anything like that, they don't get, you know, something money-wise, financial from it, there's nothing nobody can do, and that pisses me off.
You know, I'm going to let everybody else go around the room. All right, Stephen Bradley, you are our resident civilian. You know, you're probably one of the funniest guys that I know. Either that or you just got a huge library of memes that you just have at the ready. So, I mean, well, give me your take on this. I mean, as a civilian, give me your take on this.
Well, I dearly admire anybody that serves in any kind of capacity as far as military, firefighting, police, you know, law enforcement, and even, you know, paramedics and all that, because they're usually in dangerous situations sometimes too, you know. And somebody that has just either the biggest balls to think they can get away with this or just the dumbest son of a bitch ever created, I think they should be punished to the fullest extent, you know. There's no excuse for trying to, you know, take somebody else's credit, you know. The veterans, the active members of the military, you know, have dealt with and put up with a lot of shit that the likes of me as a straight civilian will never understand. And I have no right to even think that I should be compared with y'all as far as credit and this and that, but that's just my take. You know, there should be something enforced, some law, you know, some kind of punishment for those that get caught stealing valor. Like Justin said, I mean, you try to pull somebody over or just walk around in a cop uniform and somebody's like, hey, he's not a cop, you're getting questioned and definitely going to get in trouble.
All right. I can appreciate that. Weber, I know we have been in the VFW at the same time when we caught members of the VFW. We outed one ourselves, a Navy guy, you know, committing stolen valor and pushing his DD-214 through. Although I think we both know who allowed that to go through, and he's not on this earth anymore, so we can't really take that up with him.
Yes, but I was arrested for that individual.
Hey, you're not supposed to choke slam people, but I mean the situation. So, you know what? Why don't you tell that story? Because it goes along with stolen valor.
We had an individual. I was the commander of the VFW a few years ago, and we had an individual that was before I got there. I was in Afghanistan. When I came back, I became commander after a year or so from being home. And this fellow was an officer on our board, and he started talking to me and Kyle about war stories, and it didn't add up. It just didn't make sense. His age and the time that he was in, I wanted to see his DD-214. Well, lo and behold, it was missing.
That's when Kyle found it.
Yeah. We requisitioned a copy of his DD-214, and lo and behold, he was kicked out of the Navy after, 6 months?
I believe it was about 6 months. He told us he was on the John C. Stennis, which I'm going to have to do my research, but if he's about 7 years older than us, I don't, and I got to make sure here so I don't put my foot in my fucking mouth. The John C. Stennis is, I guess it's probably still active. Let's see here. Yeah,
well,
it's,
anyway.
It's, yeah.
He not only did he not serve his full term in service, but he was dishonorably discharged.
Yeah, and, something like raping 43 chickens and a beagle or something like that. I don't know.
But we outed him. And my very unpolitical friend here decided that he was just going to kill him. I said, no, we'll just hold off.
I came close a couple of times, but you just wouldn't let me have any fucking fun. And then, of course, after I leave the general area, that's when he decided to pull the bullshit that he did with you. Hey, you know what? I just found it. That guy was in the Navy in the early 90s, and the John C. Stennis was not actually commissioned until December 9th of 1995. So,
correct.
Yeah. Math.
But
it'll fuck you every time.
Yeah, I learned a lesson that day. He sued me for, $4,000?
My count is like $5,500. And wasn't it for making fun of your fucking service dog?
Yeah, he was making fun of my service dog and saying that I didn't need one, and I, amongst other things, he called a female that I was with, he told her to shut her fucking mouth, bitch. I think that was about the end of it.
Which female was that?
Oh, we're not going to say names.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure I told the same female the same exact thing. Okay, so, hey, we're going to take a call real quick. Whoever's on hold there, area code 508. Forgive me. I don't know how to fucking screen calls yet. You're just going to have to fucking deal with it. So we're going to go live. Area code 508, whoever you are, get ready to talk. You're on with the preacher.
Hey.
Who's this?
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? All right, so, yeah, I mean, following up on this Stolen Valor thing, right? I'm not entirely sure which pisses me off more. You get fucking Joe Schmo out on the street that's never fucking served a day in his life, walking around in a uniform that he didn't fucking earn. You know, he's looking for that false praise, looking for that fucking discount, whatever. Or, I mean, you see fucking people that were in, or even still are, that are fucking embellishing their records to fucking build out a resume or whatever the fuck their reason is. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Hey, you know what? There's not one of us in the world that hasn't thought at some point, man, I want to be an Army Ranger. I did for about 10 seconds. What the fuck was that?
That was me, and I have not.
Take the phone out of your mouth. Yeah, that's because you're a Marine. Anyway, hey, we've seen Matt Best videos, okay? We saw the Army Rangers versus Navy SEALs. We saw the Marine. We're not going to talk about the Marines. We're not going to do any of that stuff. We're not going to badmouth anybody. I'm just saying, at one time or another, we all thought about, maybe some of us thought about being Special Forces. I did. I wanted to. But you know what? I like being fat and smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey and flying in my helicopter. You know, not as a pilot, but I like being on a window. I like being in the hurricane seat. I don't want to – my hat is off to those guys. You know, I was in a – what the hell? Where was it? You remember Aaron Dennis, Dustin? From Fort Eustis. Weber.
Yes, I do. Sorry, I had you on mute.
No. So Aaron Dennis, a little story about Aaron Dennis real quick. Aaron Dennis, three generations of military in his family, and everybody before him was a cook. And Aaron was a cook before he became a Black Hawk mechanic. And he told me something one night, we were talking about it, and there had been a case of stolen valor in Virginia while we were there at Fort Eustis. And he told me something that has stuck with me for as long as I can remember. And he said, you know, my dad was a cook. My grandpa was a cook. I don't see why people just can't be proud of what they're doing. Because every person is a cog in the wheel. You know, every person is key. They're paramount. You know, if you don't like your story, change it. If you don't like where you're at with your job, reclass. You do something else. Go to fucking Ranger School. Go to REF. Put your fucking money where your mouth is. I already know that I'm 33, fixing to be 33. I'm 250 pounds, and I don't want to go to REF. I can be an admirer from way over here. And if them boys need a ride on my motherfucking helicopter, I'm more than happy to oblige them. That's just how it is. So that's my soapbox. And I think we're going to parlay into this, into some other stuff. And as soon as we get to, I'm going to talk to Nick for a second. Nick, did you have anything else you want to add before I let you go? And we're going to get the Doc Steele.
It's button up against what you just said, right? You got fucking everybody in the military, okay, across all the branches, they're instilled with integrity, right? It's supposed to be fucking drilled into your head, you know? Take pride in what you fucking have done, and don't fucking lie about what it is that you have done or haven't done. You know what? You should be fucking proud of who you are and fucking what you've done, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm proud of, my family's aviation from way back. I mean, my great-grandfather, Gerald S. Kyle, started in the Army Air Corps in 1942, was an aircraft electrician up until about 63, or I don't know, I don't remember exactly when the C-5 rolled off the line, but as soon as he saw the schematic for the C-5 electrical system, he was like, fuck this, I'm out. You know, it's just, he didn't want to do it no more. But, all right, Nick, I appreciate you calling in. Call in a little bit later if you want to, or just listen and hang out, and we'll get you on the next show.
Yeah, hell yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, take it easy.
Hey, stay Boston strong.
Shut the fuck up. I'm hoisting some whiskey for you, brother.
All right, later,
Good
guys.
Good luck finding your khakis.
Yeah, whatever. Go fuck yourself.
Hey, go Bruins. Tom Brady, too.
Oh, dude, fuck you. But you must like Roger Goodell, you fucking asshole.
I don't like Roger Goodell, but I damn sure don't like Tom Brady. That's for fucking sure.
Hey, you don't like him because he ain't playing for your team.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. Even if he was playing for my team. Hey, let's not. We're going to go down the road of football here in a minute because one of our co-hosts, Justin Meether, is a Dallas Cowboys fan, and will actually be attending a Halloween party later in the month of October, dressed as arts and crafty Tony Romo from the DirecTV commercials. So,
and
you guys
will be bringing brownies.
Oh my God! All right, Nick. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Better.
You too, man.
Oh, shit. Okay, we're going to take one more call. Area code 920. I don't know who you are, but you're on live on the Section 8 Power Hour. Who's this? Area code 920. Who's this? Oh, they gone. Okay, so let's talk to we're going to talk to B.G. Smith, Bug Out Military. We're going to take his call real quick, and then we're going to go to Doc Steele, and we're going to get on a serious note for a minute, and then we're going to have some fun. I got some ideas for FKM game tonight because we got to keep up with we got to go to Justin because last night after the Jeff Kyle interview, we played FKM, but we got cut off. So let's see, BG, my brother, you're on air. What's up?
Outstanding. How are y'all doing this evening?
Pretty damn good.
Outstanding. Well, check this out. I knew the tonight's show was supposed to be about stolen valor and over at Bug Out, you know, we get a little bit of everything. And we had one of the most unique cases I've ever seen come right to us and pretty much throw themselves at us. We was getting ready to do this raffle. And this, I mean, we didn't have hardly anything. You know, it was in our beginning. And he come in saying he was going to give us this $500 zero-tolerance carbon fiber knife so we could start raising funds to try to help a veteran. So, you know, I was like, hey, that's awesome. You know, and it turns out this dude's a captain, pretty well-connected, you know, according to what he was saying and everything. So I decided to call him up, you know, and just talking to him on the phone, you know, things weren't adding up. He was talking about how, you know, he's a captain and everything, and he's not getting paid due to Army's deficit pretty much, and they was cutting corners, and they was holding back pay for a while. So he was actually living with this girl. And come to find out, you know, I started looking at his picture, and I'm like, this dude is a soup sandwich. He's been warmed up in a microwave and, like, just tossed under the bus. I was like, man, your freaking cover's all jacked up. Your top's too tight. It's too short. He had pictures, you know, where he had, like, AR rounds laying around in his car in the console. And he was like, what's that? He said, oh, I use them for toothpicks. I'm like, what? Are you serious? You know, so the more we talk, you know, the more weird it got. And he's like, hey, I got this female sergeant major. You know, she's my sergeant major. And we're going to get in a side group. And, you know, and she's going to help out, too. She's got some things she might be able to donate. So he put me in this side chat, and we're over here just chatting away, and I'm thinking, this just ain't adding up. You know, and I got to looking at her pictures, and she looked like she was 28 tops, you know, and I was like, you're supposed to be a sergeant major. How in the world did you do this so quick kind of thing? And she's like, well, you know, I'm 34. God, this just ain't adding up. Well, she kind of blipped out for a while.
So he – So it was an actual woman that was talking to you?
Well, this was in a side chat. You know, it was all typing. Come to find out, he had a profile.
Because when you were quoting her, you were talking in, like, a girl's voice, so I didn't know if, like, somebody else was on or something. No, go ahead. That's pretty easy to tell if the guy's like, yeah, I'm a female sergeant major. I'm 34.
Right on. No, you know, it was in a side chat. It was just all typing and everything. You know, she blipped out for a couple hours, you know, and me and him talked, you know. And she popped back in with all these bug out gear, you know, pretty much. She had her bag packed. She was talking about going camping for the weekend and was showing all these things. And it just wasn't adding up, you know. So I looked over at my wife. I said, hey, I'm going to send you these pictures. Do an image search for me. Well, come to find out, these pictures were all over the internet. You know, so I started calling him out, and I called her out first. I'm like, you're not real. You know, and it started hitting me. If she's not real, maybe he's not real. So we started digging in on him. And Doc's on the phone with me, by the way. Doc used to be a really good computer dude. And I said, hey, man, let's troll this dude just wide open. Well, Doc was good enough back in the day before Facebook got hard on us. Well, we could do IP traces. So we ended up tracing his IP down to his house and took a picture of his house. And it's like, you're right here right now, aren't you? And he kind of started getting scared. He kind of come clean and pretty much told us, yeah, I'm not really a captain and everything. And I'm her too. And he had three other profiles. Well,
Wait a second. Let me get something clear for our listeners. So not only was he running a page as a fake captain in the Army that wasn't getting any pay, but he was also running a page as a 34-year-old female sergeant major.
Yeah, I got all the pictures. I kept
Jesus Christ.
I got screenshots of our conversation.
Okay, go on.
Okay, so we started troubling his girlfriend because we done figured out he wasn't real and his sergeant major wasn't real. So we figured his fucking girlfriend was fake too, right? You know, you got that much time to play. You might as well make a fake girlfriend up. So I sent her a message, and she actually contacted me back and called me on the phone. And she was so surprised. She said he dresses up every morning and goes somewhere, and she really thought he was in the Army.
Jesus.
You were just going out and hanging out in his car all day.
I'm really in the Army, and I don't dress up that much. I mean, I roll my sleeves. I don't really blouse my fucking ACU pants. I hear shit about it all the time. Nobody ever questions me. That's man, that's that story's not finished. I remember this story, so go ahead and finish.
Well, it turns out we kept talking to her and getting little bits and pieces, and he was living with her. Like I said, he wasn't getting no pay, so she was paying for his car, his insurance, that is. The car was his. He was paying his insurance. I mean, she was paying his insurance. She was paying his gas. She was paying off for his food. Everything he'd done pretty much was treating him like a king, you know, because she thought he was his captain doing great things for his country. Well, come to find out, he got busted for doing, some checks or something, and he went to jail. Comes out.
Yeah, it was bounce checks. It was bounce checks.
Yeah, it was bounce checks. And see, it turned around that she ended up pregnant by this piece of crap. After we had got her to break up and kick him out, she found out she was pregnant by him and takes him back in. But we did get him to come on the page and write a big, huge apology and say he was a piece of shit. But it was just...
the funniest part of all of it was what really got him going was I don't think he realized how hard we were trolling him on the opposite side of him. We were pulling his IP address and pulled out exactly where he was. And I pulled a Google Maps and Google Earth's image, showed him his house. And had BG sent it to him.
That's what
and he was like. He's like, oh my God, these guys know exactly where I'm talking from. And you know, all his fake accounts were the same place. Like, hey, here's this account. Here's the IP address for this one. The subnet IP address was exactly the same, except for the last three digits on it were different, telling you that he's whether it was a iPad, his phone, or his computer that he was doing it, because he was bouncing between two and three different, either an iPad or, you know, two or three different
computer products. Oh, he spelled his name a couple different ways, too. So, it wasn't really hard to figure out. He just added a bunch of extra letters, like, phonetically spelled his crap out. It was weird. But
wow.
His female name was Megan Dillon, and he's like Emilio, some kind of weird Mexican name. I mean, I could stick some pictures, you know, down here in the links in a few minutes if I can get my old iPad to connect. But it was just amazing how soupy this dude was. Oh, I forgot about this. He actually made him a DD-214 up, and he's got expended rounds laying on top of it.
What?
Oh, by the way, hold on, let me see. Yeah, here's the 06. He was supposed to be in 06, by the way.
He was supposed to put on 06?
He's got 06 on this DD-214.
So he's a fucking full bird colonel then.
Well, but he's got captain.
Yeah, that guy's definitely ate up.
No, I take that definitely. Back. I glanced at it wrong. A colonel supposedly signed his DD-214 here.
There was other stuff when you look on a DD-214. I don't want to tell anybody about it, but when you look on a DD-214 and you've seen some or you have your own, you can start saying, hey, you know what? This doesn't make sense. You know, it's not adding up for me. You know, even like the font could be different or just wording.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's specific wording on there. You know, and I don't want to say the wording that's on there for people that may be listening and want to make a fake DD-214, but you can look at it and go, something's not adding up.
Yeah, like if I've got a soldier that's younger than me, but he served for General Doolittle. Yeah, it's gonna be a little bit of suspect. Well, listen, boys, I appreciate you guys calling in. We got to break into this next segment with Doc Steele. But I appreciate you guys calling in, and we'll talk to you on the next one. Everybody, if you're listening, go over to Bug Out. Give your page a shout-out there real quick, BG.
All right, you can look up Bug Out Military, that's group and page, and you can also look up Warriors Crossing. We're all about helping veterans. We actually got a raffle running right now. You can win some gear and help us pay a veteran's electric and light bill. I mean, electric and water, my bad.
All right, sounds good.
Thank y'all. Okay. Have a great night.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Later on.
Man, there are some crazy motherfuckers in this world. All right, let's get into the meat and the potatoes. We're going to go live here with Doc Steele. Hey, Doc, can you hear us?
Yeah, roger that, bro.
Okay. Hey, guys, I'm going to mute you just for a second just because I want everybody else to hear this. So I'm going to mute you just for a second, and then I'll roll you guys back in. Sound good?
Do what you gotta do.
All right, Doc. Just me and you. Let's talk about this shit. Now, I followed you on Facebook. I guess you could say stalking you. I haven't gone so far as to send you any nasty ass messages.
You're a beard chaser. You send me boob pics. Just admit it.
I do send you boob pics, but they're not my boobs.
I wish.
So, sorry to catfish you, bro.
That's all right, man.
So I followed you for quite a while, man. When I really put this show together, I wanted to get some of the heavy hitters, if you will, in our industry. And I know there's a lot of guys that are out there in the forefront. And I could have reached out to some of those guys, but I wanted to kind of go behind the scenes to the guys that are out in the forefront a little bit, but really do a lot more that's not posted on Facebook, that's not put out there to social media, that's not in the media limelight. And I know that because, the stuff that we've talked about, you do a lot. I mean, a lot that's just completely unnoticed. And it's probably better that way because you can really, you can put your heart and soul into it without having to be PC all the fucking time. And you can do, whatever you need to do to complete the mission and help whoever you're trying to help. So if you could, the floor is yours for about the next, I'm going to give you, 10, 15 minutes to just really explain, what you've been doing for like the last year. And if people want to help, if there's, I know we talked last night and you said, you like to help all of the VSOs, not just one in particular.
Correct. Yeah, I get that, some people, follow me on social media, and I came back from Somalia. I was, doing, an anti-piracy gig, speak Arabic and Somali, and I'm a medic. Did a couple tours, overseas and do some contracting work, and I came home, to find out, I was, quote-unquote, one of these veteran celebrities, and I'm not sure if I want to jerk off or fucking puke all over my, myself. But I'm not out here selling t-shirts every night. I shit you not. I'm taking phone calls until fucking 8 a.m. Until the drugs wear off or the alcohol wears off, and I'm just fulfilling my obligation as a doc. Just because the uniform comes off doesn't mean my obligation or my oath to my brothers and sisters is expired. So I get a lot of phone calls as far as hey, I'm thinking about doing something harmful to myself, or I can't take it anymore. That's where my heart lies when I'm not overseas. I've seen, unfortunately, recently a lot of these organizations kind of a dick measure, between each other, who's bigger, who's a badass, or who has this celebrity veteran or that celebrity veteran or this big name or that big name aligned to them. And I'll fucking tell you right now, I don't give a shit who you are. neither of those organizations, like if you were to pick like two and like exponentially like increase their numbers to take like call volumes, are capable of doing it. Basically, what we've come to like is a point where the VA is not taking care of us, and we all fucking know that. And it's actually us, like brothers and sisters, like standing up next to each other and saying, you know, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you, and you take care of him, and she takes care of like that guy. And so everybody like ends up like doing what we actually did like in the military. And as the large amounts of people like that are coming back from combat return to the U.S. to quote unquote fuck off and reintegrate, which I completely don't agree with, we're finding that we're seeking each other out because the VA system like doesn't like adequately like equip us to take care of each other. And you know, like whether it's Warrior Point or Battle in Distress or VetStar or Operation 22-9 or Operation like 22-0 or Operation 23-0, you know, everybody needs to be a regular guy or a regular girl, and they need to like take off their airborne tab, take off like, you know, their SF tab or their Steel Trident or what the fuck ever. I have like some like heavy hitters like who end up like talking to me, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey doc, I'm fucked up. Okay, what's up? And you know, here I am, like, you know, like an Air Force cop, National Guard, like medic, linguist, did some contract work, and it doesn't matter like how big your dick was, like when you were overseas, and we learn this as contractors. What can you do for me right now? And it's the same way in the vet community. I don't give a fuck if you were in Vietnam or Korea or whatever. Can you hook me up with the contacts that I need to get, like, housing or to get food or, you know, to get a service dog or to get whatever? And it's us, like, plugging each other in and breaking out of that, like, I'm a ranger, so I only hang out with rangers. Or I'm SF, so I only hang out with SF. Or, you know, I'm an 88 Mike, so I only hang out with truckers. You know, you need to get the fuck out of that. And everybody needs to take care of everybody. So it's not like one entity or one Facebook, like, organization that, like, we really need to focus on. It's all of us pulling together to save one life. And you and me were on the phone, like, the other night. Like both of us were in tears, freaking the fuck out about a brother. Thank God he's good to go. But that shit is like every night. So yeah, I mean that's where we stand. Like I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, you know, like we were talking last night about, you know, we were talking about the 22 a day. And how we were talking about how, you know, only 27 states, and I don't think a lot of people know this, only 27 states report veteran suicides, and that's where that 22 a day comes from. I mean, if
correct.
Like we said, if every state was reporting, it's logical to assume that that number would be upwards of, say, you know, 45, maybe over 50. And
correct.
You know, you made a good point last night. That's not even, you know, you're not taking into effect, you know, the people aren't taking into effect the guys that are drinking themselves to death, medicating themselves to death, you know, homeless on the streets. And that's another thing I'd like you to, you know, touch on that. You know, the operation that you started, you know, going around Minneapolis and picking these guys up, you know, tell
right.
that story, because that touched me last night.
Yeah, I started a couple years ago. I was working like a vascular medicine downtown in Minneapolis, and I had passed like this area in Uptown, which is like this cliquey, like really like upscale like area, and people were like giving money out to Greenpeace that was standing on the corner, and I don't know, like feed like my like dying fish like in South America and shit like that, and you know, trees are dying like in the rainforest like type shit. And they would walk over like this guy, and I was coming back from the hospital, and I saw this guy, and he had a 173rd like patch on. And this motherfucker like wasn't like using the veteran thing. And they were stepping over his legs. So I pulled my car over, and I said, hey, bro. I'm like, were you 173rd? He said, yeah. I said, no shit. I said, where? And so he gave me, like, the full fucking story. So I call up one of my buddies from the VFW, and he's like, holy fucking shit. Yeah, he's legit. So I said, bro, like, get in the car. And I'm like, all these people, like, want to, like, spend money, like, on stupid causes or whatever, but they're stepping over these veterans. And I take him to get him something to eat. And I said, bro, you inspired me to, like, really start something to, like, grab homeless guys off the street that are veterans, male and female. And I've seen some badass shit happen for single moms that are, like, screwed up, like, from OIF, OEF. In California, they built a whole neighborhood for him. But the thing that I ran into is that they actually don't want to come off the street because they've been there so damn long that they're comfortable with it. It's like us not wanting to get out of the military. People can't understand why don't you acclimate to civilian life? Go fuck yourself, because we're good with, like, you know, like where we are, like. Work, you know, like they really don't get it. Well, the homeless feel the same way because we've neglected them for such a long time. So when you look at homeless like people that I picked up, I'll take them like into the VA, and they're drunk half the time because, I mean, they're self-medicating and they've been there for a long time, like maybe since like Gulf War, you know, or like a few Vietnam guys left, a few. Most of them are dead now, which is, like, sad as fuck. Because we still have functional World War II guys and gals, like, running around, a few. And they don't know their, like, you know, their Social Security number. They don't know, like, what their serial number was. And it's literally a complicated process to try and get the VA to accept them and try and figure out, like, you know, what they, like, qualify for as far as benefits, and you literally have to kick in doors. And they can't even, like, get our fucking shit straight, and they've got pictures of us getting blown up, like, or getting shot. So these motherfuckers, like, are offing themselves or self-medicating or freezing to death on the side of the road. And who the fuck, like, works at county medical is going to pick them up in an ambulance and say, well, that's a veteran, so we're going to, like, include that, like, you know, into the tally. Nobody. You're fucked.
Yeah. That's got to be... I just... It just gets me in the... Right in the feels, as you would say. It gets dusty in here when I start talking about it. You know, my step-grandfather, Robert Amont, was 101st Airborne, retired Sergeant First Class, 3 tours in Vietnam. The guy was amazing. And towards the end of his life, we were trying to get him some VA care, and literally they would not let him in because we couldn't find a copy of his DD-214. We had the pictures. We had pictures of him in Vietnam. I mean, I had mountains of pictures, and because, you know, a lot of those guys lost a lot of their records when St. Louis burned, you know, I was having to write letters back to, the National Archives to try to, you know, get a copy of it. And we lost him, before I could get the letter back. And, you know, grandma, was inundated with debt because, you know, we had to have him in a private hospital, towards the end. So it's a lot of us have felt the sting of it on many different levels, and I've made it almost personal to do what I've done. You know, when I wrote that poem the other night and we talked about that, you know, I looked at the numbers and I made it, I to use the word that she used, I quantified it. I made it personal. I looked at it in the 3 hours, in the 1 hour on the tarmac and 2 hours from Indianapolis to Denver. I really looked at that and thought, since I've been in this plane, 3 veterans have committed suicide.
I just started
to cry. Like I couldn't do it. And I had that cocktail napkin and I grabbed a pen and it just started to flow and stuff like that happens from time to time. So I'm glad I did. And hopefully maybe someday that, that thing will reach out and the right person will see it and it might save them from how they're feeling.
You know, absolutely. Like, if you're, and I hope like one of the, like, and I'm not going to name names, but if you're one of the veteran celebrities, quote unquote, like out there, and you hear this, like, I would say, fuck your t-shirts, fuck your gear. I get that it sucks that you, like, have, like, an inbox that is completely full, like, every morning. I get it. I get that you have to, like, start, like, a public page or some shit like that, which I won't do because I'm a regular guy. That's my deal. Fuck it. But whenever you can, you need to pick up the phone and you need to, like, answer, like, a call. Like, holy shit, you answered. Yeah, yeah. What's up, bro? What's up, sis? Because here's the deal. We represent 0.45% of the U.S. population as OIF, OEF veterans. We represent 1 in 4 of all homeless, like, people in the U.S. We represent 25% of every suicide that happens every day in the U.S. It's not, I mean, coming from a medical background, like I'm not sure I want to call it an epidemic in, like, anymore. Like, it's a fucking pandemic. And I was talking with a couple of my brothers the other day, and I'm sure you guys know, like, all the old veterans you'll see at the VFW or you know, like, parades or whatever. They've got the blue hats on, and they've got, like, a, you know, like, the embroidered, like, I was a Vietnam vet and or I was a World War II or Korean vet, and they've got, like, you know, their service ribbons, like, stitched into it. There's not going to fucking be any of us in 20 years to wear those because we're all going to, like, be dead.
Yeah.
Not from combat. Yeah. Not from fucking combat, but because we fought the longest fucking war in American history. We're not the greatest generation, by all means. Jameson, like, you know, the fuck out of it, and, you know, like, we get in domestics and we get in fights and we get locked up. But when has our nation ever asked a group of young men and women to continuously go over there, be in combat, and not take a fucking ship home and fucking decompress for, like, 3 or 4 weeks, but fucking literally fly back and within 13 hours pretend like, you know, you're back to your National Guard job, like, or your civilian job, and everything's fine, and then 8 months later, fucking go back again, and then go back and forth and back and forth. No one has ever asked any of that, like, from, like, any American in, like, our entire history of Americans at all, more or less, like, for this length of period. It's fucking ridiculous. And to ask us to reintegrate, you know, we have reintegration classes for GLBT or for, you know, this minority or that minority. Well, we represent, like, a huge fucking minority, and we're asked to go to training mandatorily to learn how to fit into everybody else. Fuck that. why are they not taking classes to learn how to integrate us into them? We raise the standard. Why are we, like retrograding and having to, like, fit back into them? Most of these motherfuckers, like, couldn't name their, like, own continent. It just doesn't make any sense, and it's a kick in the dick to all of us that have served. So society is not going to change. We can bitch about it all we want to. So what's the answer? We need to unite as a warfighter community and be our brothers and sisters keepers and call a motherfucker and be like, hey, I hear you're having a bad day. Yeah, okay, well, like, how bad is it? Well, it's this. Because you and I both know one bad day, you know, and a couple emails and a bad day at the office means you and I, like, are posting, like, another brother or sister who checked out last night.
I completely concur, brother. In fact, I have a quote. I can't remember where I heard it from, but I say it all the time. You know, the guys that I talk to in the Vigilant Guard or just any soldier that I'm talking to, any veteran, and I always tell them, when you hold your brother up to the light, no darkness will touch you. You know, and we have strength in numbers, and I wish that if I could wish for anything in this world, it's that we come together sooner rather than later. Because if one of us gets stronger, we all get stronger. Iron sharpens iron.
True story.
And that's
true
just,
story. Yeah.
That's just the
absolutely.
Way it is. That's just the way it is.
I started to see that, like, in that community, like, in the last, like, probably, like, 2 years. You know, like, I started a ruck march, like, a couple of years ago, went from, like probably, like, 70 to 400 this last year. And now you see, like, rucks, like, all over, like, the U.S., Germany, Japan, you name it. They're doing it in Baghdad right now. Like, and we don't even have troops there, quote, unquote. But, yeah, we're all, like, right? We're all uniting, and if we all come together, and right now I think it's really important as far as, like, curbing like the 23 a day, and I get sick of fucking hearing 22. Well, 22 veterans a day. Well, yeah. What about the one fucking active duty guy? I mean, let's not forget it, because, like, he's a veteran too, she's a veteran too. Well, they didn't fucking deploy necessarily. Go fuck yourself. They raised their hand, whatever it was. I don't give a shit. I don't care if you're, like, SF and you did, like, fucking, like, 20 ticks. You raised your right hand and you win. That's it. It's not a dick measuring contest.
I agree.
We really need to come. Yeah, man. Like, we really need to come together. And it's like, you know, like, what's stronger, showing a fist, you know, as one, or like holding up five fingers? Well, the fist is, you know. So if we all unite and we all, like, show, like, a concerted effort, regardless of what organization you belong to, like I said before, as far as, like, you know, maybe this person needs this, maybe that person needs that, like, whatever. Use whatever. It's not an organization. Fuck the organization. We all serve in the same goddamn services. So, you know, throw out, like, a number, throw out a name, like, whatever. Like, if somebody doesn't pick up, yeah, roger that, got it. You know, like, there's this group. There's so many fucking groups out there right now that are, like, really trying to take care of each other, that I think we're starting to really change the tide. Not in the numbers, but in the message. And I don't think we've ever seen that, because, you know, we haven't seen a loss or suicide epidemic like this or drug or alcohol problems since Vietnam. But they really didn't have a voice, and when they came home, they really didn't have education. Fuck, we have PFCs in the National Guard who have master's degrees.
Yep.
You know? There's no reason why we can't pull our resources together and all take care of each other. And the one thing that I really want to start seeing is the lack of dick measuring contests between vet organizations or you know, resource organizations out there, and I'd really like to see everybody start to work together.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Listen, brother, I got to play the clip from Jeff's interview last night, and then we're going to get into some other stuff. I appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy guy. I know you guys had a long, long night last night. And I know
that was some crazy shit, yeah. Yeah, 30 shots fired, bro.
We'll have to get you on the next show. You can give us the
that's a whole different
the rundown.
Tell Jeff I said hello, and thanks for the play.
I will for sure, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother.
All right, brother. Peace.
Peace.
You heard it, boys. That's Landon Steele, the doc. I think I just hung up on Stephen Bradley, though. Or did I hang up on Justin Meether?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, nope. Justin had to sign off. It's time for him to go to work.
Okay.
Man.
Poor bastard.
Tell you what. Yeah, fuck that. I don't go to work right now. They can fucking kiss my ass. I stepped outside earlier to get a breath of fresh air before the show, and I smelled some smoke in the air, and I was thinking, if this fucking phone rings and we have to go do a fire, I'm going to be real fucking pissed. So I better start drinking so I can tell them I'm drunk. Yeah, and one of my good friends, we'll call him AV, just walked through the door. He's one of the lead crew chiefs where we're at. So as long as he's not out there, I don't have to be out there fixing the motherfucking aircraft. So works for me. Listen, we got some guys on hold, but we're going to I'm going to play the Jeff Kyle interview real quick, and then we'll come back. And it's going to run about 16 minutes, and then we'll get into the FKM game. So, everybody, this is me, Dustin, and Justin interviewing Jeff Kyle, brother of Navy SEAL Chris Kyle and founder of way too many organizations that I can't even name right now. And he's going to, he'll be listening in the interview. So take notes, take notice of what he's doing. So here we go. Gentlemen, we'll be back in a minute.
Justin, introduce yourself if you would.
Hello. And I'm going to try and hop into the same boat as Kyle and not sound like a fanboy, so yeah.
And then we got one of my Army brothers, infantryman. I was actually aviation. I'm actually aviation, but Dustin Weber.
How you doing, sir?
Don't call me sir.
Marine.
Way
sorry.
To go, Dustin. Way to go. So, Jeff, what we're trying to do is for this episode, and I'm glad we got to pre-record it so I could kind of I'm not going to, like, chop it up and do what the mainstream media does and make a completely different conversation out of our conversation. But for what we're doing, this episode is going to be Stolen Valor and some other stuff. We're going to have Landon Steele on talking about, you know, suicide awareness, suicide prevention. And I think I haven't really seen anybody else in the community that's doing as much for the veteran community as you are. And even by your own admission, a couple of quotes that I read where you had actually said that you felt like you've actually given more to the veteran community since you've been out than you did when you were in.
Right.
So, you know, if you could just, you know, kind of touch on that and just, you know, what we want to know is with all this stolen valor and it running rampant, a lot of people have kind of been cautious about donating to, you know, veteran services organizations and different ones. So we just kind of want to get your take on, you know, stolen valor for a little bit and maybe, you know, touch on some of the VSOs that are your favorites, the ones that you vetted, the ones that you put your time into.
Okay. Yeah, good to go. So, you know, like you had said that you had heard me say before was, you know, I feel like I'm able to serve more now than what I did before. And, you know, I mean, to me that's 100% true because when I was on active duty, in the reserves, what have you, you know, being deployed and everything, you know, I was able to help out my brothers right next to me, and that was it. And so now that I'm out, you know, I can reach out to, you know, to everybody. I can reach out to the Gold Star families, you know, and every veteran across the board, no matter what branch of service they were or, you know, what era they served in, you know, I can reach out there and, you know, get with them and get them help if possible and, you know, get them some notification if they need it and, you know, money if they need it and things like that. But, you know, I loved what I did in the service. I'm proud as hell of what I did. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world. And, you know, but I've got a mission now and, you know, I got to push forward with it and continue on. As far as the stolen valor deal goes, you know, that's pretty freaking disgusting how anybody could do that. You know, our men and women, the vets, you know, they're struggling every day. They don't have the help they need. That, you know, the government sucks helping us out, and, you know, then you've got some prick that, you know, decides to pretend that they were a service member or pretend that they did this and that, and, you know, it takes away from the men and women that really need the help, you know, because it does. It makes those people, you know, makes the civilians not want to help out and, you know, kind of turn a blind eye to what's going on. And, you know, you see it every day, and, you know, I mean, what do we do about it? All we can do is call those people out and, you know, try to get rid of them. But, you know, they pop up everywhere, and they figure out ways to make it harder for us to figure them out and things like that. But there's a ton of organizations out there that love helping vets. They have it in their hearts, and, you know, they're 100% without a doubt, you know, golden on when it comes to helping vets and Gold Star families. Guardian for Heroes. Chris started that. He co-founded that foundation back in late 2009, early 2010. And, you know, I sit on the board for it now, and I can, you know, I'll put my name on it all day long, put my name out there all day long, and back it 100% that it is one of the few 90-10 organizations that, you know, give at least 90% back to the veteran community, you know, if not more. And, you know, I see it every day because I help pick the vets and I help put the money out there to them. Another one is American Valor Foundation, which is what we run the Chris Kyle Memorial Benefit through. You know, we've only been doing it for about 2 years now, and we pick a different veteran nonprofit to give the proceeds to each year. Our first year, we raised a little over $140,000. And every bit of that money went to Base Camp 40, Warriors in the Wild. This year we raised over $450,000 for Heroes. Yeah. And this next year picked another veteran foundation that I've worked with. I don't sit on the board for or anything, but
you know, I work, I do a lot of work with them, and I back them 100%. And that's how we pick these foundations is, you know, we get to know the people inside, you know, behind the foundation, who started it, what they do, and, you know, where the money comes from. We've met a lot of the donors that, you know, help these foundations out, and then we meet the veterans, too, that the foundations have helped. And this next year, proceeds are going to go to Spirit of a Hero. And, you know, I mean, these, we bet them 100%. We make sure that they are at least a 90-10. And, you know,
yeah.
So there's no telling how much money we'll be able to raise for them this year. You know, I think every year it's going to grow, and, you know, we believe in it 100%. And, you know, we only give it to the foundations that we know and love and trust and believe in. So, you know, it becomes a struggle on who do you give the money to? Where's the money going? You know, is it going to the right places? Are they, you know, keeping too much of it for themselves? Are they paying their directors? Things like that. You know, so it's a difficult spot to be in, but, you know, we pick the ones that are legit 100%.
I
was going to say, without saying any names, we've worked with one organization and come to find out that most of the money was going to the directors.
Right, yeah.
So, I think you can probably guess which one that is.
Yeah, I can probably I think there's a W in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I think it's along the same initials as the WWF. Well, Jeff, let me ask you. So after Chris passed away, did you feel any hesitation to keep doing what you were doing? You know, with how he passed away, did you feel any hesitation working with the vets? Like at any time, you know, it might not be safe, or you just did that drive you even more to help and to give back?
Yeah, I never took a second thought about continuing on. You know, like you said, it lit a fire under me a lot bigger and made me push that much harder. And, you know, try to fill the footsteps that Chris made. And, you know, because he was busting his butt every day to try to get, you know, recognition out there and get people to notice these vets and try to help them out. And, you know, with him gone, you know, I had to pick up that torch and run with it. And there, you know, there's nothing that was going to hold me back. There's nothing that's going to stop me, you know, because I'm going to use, just like Chris used, the opportunities that were thrown at him, you know, because of his notoriety, he used that to benefit the veteran community. And with me being thrust into his position, you know, I was kind of voluntold to be in this spot. And, you know, I'm gonna take it and I'm going to run with it and do everything I possibly can to help the veteran community.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, just the work that both you and Chris have done is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, every time I half-assed when I sent that picture on Facebook of me standing next to the truck, I should have looked. I know that I saw you, you know, getting recognition for the Brickyard 400, you know, back in July. But I've just been so damn busy. And when I saw it there in Indianapolis, I was like, oh, well, isn't that cool? They named the Brickyard 400 after Jeff. You know, and then when you replied with what you replied with, I was like, I probably should have looked at the date on that sumbitch. That is unfortunate for me. So, well, listen, man, I really appreciate you coming on. Like I said earlier, let me ask, is this year's benefit, is it going to be at the Stockyards again? Because I wanted to go last year, but I got tied up with some Army training, and I'd really like to make it. I mean, if I can kill two birds and show up at the Stockyards and be there for benefit, that's awesome. But is it going to be there again this year, or do you guys not know yet?
Yes. No, it'll be in the same spot. It'll be at the Stockyards.
Oh, man. I guess we'll be going to Billy Bob's Honky Tonk that night. Pretty awesome.
There you go, yeah. I mean, you know, we've always got, you know, some pretty good bands lined up. I don't know exactly who all we've got coming this year, but, you know, we've got some pretty good bands lined up to be there. So, you know, we always have a lot of music and concerts there, you know, as long as we run it. And then, you know, of course, if you're going to stay up later, then, yeah, Billy Bob's is out there too. So,
yeah, years ago,
some of these guys, the way we run it, you know, we don't try to get these big-name artists in there and pay them, you know, $15,000 or something like that to come out and, you know, put on a show. The guys that come out, the groups that come out, they come out and they do it for free. They donate their time because they believe in it and they believe in what we do. And, you know, that's what we look at. We, you know, because we don't want, you know, big-name country singers out on TV that get paid, you know, $5 million a day or something like that to, you know, put their faith out there and say, hey, I'm backing the veterans. Well, that's BS because, you know, you're pocketing all that money. So,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
We don't do that. So if they're not going to donate their time and put on a good show, then, you know, we don't need to be a part of them.
Yeah. Any chance on, I mean, I'm sure the names have come across, but what about Kevin Fowler and Aaron Watson? I mean, those guys wouldn't charge.
We're trying to work with Aaron. We've gotten to know Aaron pretty good. I haven't talked to Kevin yet, but we're trying to work and see if Aaron's schedule will allow him to come on out.
Man, Aaron Watson and Kevin. I won't quote you. I won't quote you on the Aaron Watson part, but, man, if you guys get Aaron Watson and Kevin Fowler or just one of the two, I'm already coming, but I'm coming with bells on.
well,
listen, man,
we're
going to let you go. No, that would be amazing. I saw him out in California a couple times at Stoney's Rock and Rodeo, and it was a lot of fun. It was a good show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Aaron's a good guy.
Well. If we can hopefully I get this show a little bit bigger, man, I'd love to come down there and maybe catch up with you and do another show. And just, I know you're going to be super busy down there, but maybe we can steal you for 5 minutes and catch up with you and see how life's going. But we'll let you know, and we'll have this on the air tomorrow. And it's actually going live right now to like 4 or 5 people that are listening. But I'm gonna clean it up a little bit and take out the part where I called myself a dumbass, and we're gonna put it out there on tomorrow.
Just the part where I sang, "He is my sunshine."
Yeah, you could have sang the Marine Corps hymn or something, and you chose "My Sunshine," you dumbass.
No, because you are my sunshine, Kyle.
Whatever, bitch. All right, Jeff. Hey, we appreciate it, man.
Hey, man. Thank y'all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Have a good one.
All right, we'll
thank
talk
you.
To you soon.
All right, sounds good.
All right, bye-bye. Man, now that guy is probably one of the most down-to-earth. Well, there we go, boys. That's Jeff Kyle. I still can't believe we did that interview. Are you
it
guys
was well
that?
Done.
You're still...
Hell, you're still probably grinning
you're...
like a bird-fed cat after talking to him.
Yeah, but I can't believe... Okay, so last week when I was in Indianapolis and I was looking at the trucks and I was, you know, I looked over at the Chevy dealership and I was like, holy shit, they named the Brickyard 400 after Jeff. And I took a picture and I sent it to him and he was like, yeah, bro, that was like a month and a half ago. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I got to get, like, a public relations director to get me in line with the current event-type situations. So.
It's called a wife, Kyle. It's called a wife.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
He's
you
got
a wife, you're
now,
still
so.
You're still a moron. All right, let's take a call. We got 3 callers in the queue, and we're going to play the FKM game. So we'll go who's been on hold the longest,
Area code 409. Whoever's on hold with 409, you're coming online right now.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Who is this? Is this Ryan?
Yeah, outstanding show, gentlemen. Outstanding.
Appreciate it, brother. What are you up to?
Nothing much. I was curious to hear about how I was just talking to a friend of mine, and I'm not going to name any names, but I deal with a lot of nonprofits, like Basecamp 40, a lot of other places, and I can recommend that 100 out of 100% if anybody's out there that would probably try to go to do one of those trips.
Yep.
They pay for the plane ticket, the flight out there. They pay for your gear. They pay for your lodging. They feed you. You're on basically like, I think, 20-something thousand acres of land, just you, the owner, and one of the guys that works with them, or like another guy. I was actually on the hunt with Chris Kyle, Jeff Kyle's brother that you guys were talking about a little bit ago. You know, it was pretty epic. We shot a bear. I wasn't with Jeff and all them. They split everybody up on different sections of land. But you go out there, you hunt. It's really organic. Nobody's there to, like, make you do anything. It's pretty safe as far as I could ever think of another trip being safe. And
well, I'm a big fan of whoever's paying for my food.
Oh, you're talking, like, 3-inch thick salmon or bear or elk. I mean, it's totally pulled out of deep freezer and cooked right there for you. I mean, I stayed in a 2-story log cabin that was fully loaded. It was ridiculous. It was literally ridiculous.
Well, good. Listen, Ryan, I wanna get you on a little bit more. I got to take 3 more calls. I only got 12 minutes left.
I'm sorry.
But give me a list of no, brother. I appreciate you calling in. You know, put together a list, because I mean, I know you got a nonprofit yourself going on, and we're gonna be doing a show on tags on your project here coming up shortly. But I gotta get to these other guys real quick. We kind of ran a little bit long tonight. Maybe I should have planned it for 2 hours, but definitely, you know, get a list together of the organizations that you like, and we'll definitely be talking about those when you come back on the show.
Okay, thanks, man. Hey, I just wanted to say to all those people out there that are doing this stolen valor stuff, that is probably some of the sickest things I've ever heard of, some of these stories out there. So, I mean, that's what I was listening into, because I am adamantly sick of people going out there and doing that and disgracing the uniform and the people that wore it and all the hard work and effort they did just to get in that uniform to start off with. That's really
absolutely
all I'm listening in for tonight. Man, God bless you guys. I appreciate you taking the call, and you know, never stop doing what you're doing.
Right on.
Thanks,
brother. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
See ya. All right, we got somebody calling in from Tennessee. They've been on hold for a minute. So let's get to them. Area code 913. You are most definitely live with the preacher. Who's this?
Yeah, this
Hello.
Is Matt Stinson. This is Matthew Stinson. I was just wanting to let you know y'all have a really kick-ass show. And, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that really pisses a lot of guys like us off that they go to fucking Starbucks, wear our uniform, say the Rangers and all this shit to try to get free coffee, go get free shit, go in there and try to take veterans' benefits and everything like that. And it, me and a lot of guys out there, we really appreciate that people like y'all, you know, bring out and say, hey, we need to call these motherfuckers out and get something done about it. I mean, this shit should be like a fucking felony to do that shit.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think the first thing to take notice is I don't really know any Army Rangers that drink Starbucks coffee. So if I'm wrong, if if those guys want to call in and tell me I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe Nicholas Irving, maybe Reaper 33 drinks Starbucks. He might kick my ass for saying that shit, but I don't think they do.
Maybe some good green bean or something like that.
I think the coffee that I'm waiting to try is from Black Rifle Coffee Company, and I think that's gonna be some good stuff. So, well, listen, Matt, I appreciate you calling in. We got to get to.
No problem, brother.
It looks like we got two more. We got two more to freaking get into. Thanks for calling in, man, and continue listening to the show, and we really appreciate you listening to us.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Thanks, brother. All right, we're going, let's go area code 409. Oh, wait, that's freaking Ryan again. He's just listening. Well, let's go live to Maine. I think we got Montana Green on the air. Montana Green, what's up, brother?
Man, what's up, just checking out the show. You know what I mean? On my way home, I did a badass gig down here, you know, with some old Filipinos, you know, checking it in.
Okay, I'm not going to touch that because it's a racially charged comment. I just was going to ask, what do Filipinos listen to that they would need a DJ for, but...
R&B. They were R&B. They was all up in the Motown. They was popping.
Are they on that R. Kelly tip?
No, there was. I didn't get to piss on anybody tonight. You know, but for the most part, it was all good.
Shit.
You know, I'm on the road now. I got some freaking jackass over here driving like a jackass. But, you know, just checking in, listening to you guys, you know, about this whole... people taking money from veterans and shit, and, you know, all these
well,
people need to, you know.
Walter, I got to ask you, because you're a New York boy. You're a New York boy. I know you are, you know, live from the Bronx. Was it your uncle that worked for the Yanks?
Yeah, my uncle works for the Yankees. He got caught by Steinbrenner stealing hubcaps like umpteen years ago when Steinbrenner gave him a job, and now he's the public relations manager.
Jesus, that's
go figure that
about
shit.
A come
you
on.
Know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this: so yesterday, and we posted this up, there was a guy that got caught at Ground Zero on 9/11, accused of stolen valor, and we actually posted the pictures. On the site, this guy is just, as a New Yorker, as a supporter of the veteran community, how do you feel, I mean, when you hear about shit like that? You know, in New York, at Ground Zero, on 9/11, dressed up as a veteran, definitely not a veteran.
Dude, let me tell you, all right, because I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I was in Manhattan, and it was one of the worst fucking days of my life. And these stolen valor sons of bitches, yo, I swear, you know what, they should be fucking dragged through the mud, tarred and feathered, fucking put them bitches in fucking Guantanamo Bay, you know what I'm saying? These fuckers got no place in the world. Like, I mean, like, they're like a tick, you know what I'm saying? They serve no fucking purpose. All they do is just suck the blood life out of the people that are really out there giving their lives, laying it down on the line, you know what I mean, protecting our freedom. And these sons of bitches is walking around, you know, like they got bars.
Oh, looks like we lost Walter.
Damn it.
Well, maybe we'll get back to him on the next show. That was probably one of the best civilian rants I've heard in a long time. I like his thinking. The stolen valor assholes would definitely have some good company in Guantanamo Bay. That's for fucking sure. So we're down to 5 minutes and some 40 seconds. So we're going to get right to the FKM game.
We didn't get Justin.
No, we didn't. Fuck. Okay, Steven, since you weren't on the fucking phone last night, this is going to go to you. Okay?
All right.
This is the... not celebrity version of FKM, fuck one, kill one, marry one, and here's your three. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hold on. I'm gonna bring Walter on, and Walter, you there?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm in Maine driving through the damn mountains.
Okay, listen, Walter, we're going to get back to your thought here on the next show, but I'm going to keep you on the air because we're going to play the fuck one, kill one, marry one game. So right now,
all right.
Steven Bradley, Steven, it's your turn. Here's your three. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
All right, here's your three. Bradley Cooper, Ryan Gosling, or Britney Spears. But Britney Spears has AIDS.
Ooh.
And I'm not talking like Magic Johnson AIDS. I'm talking like Tom Hanks from Philadelphia AIDS.
She probably got it from Kevin Federline.
She probably did. All right, you're on the clock. Go.
Probably marry Britney just because I could play with her titties. Have to kill Ryan just because he's too dreamy. And we nail Bradley Cooper just because he's a pretty boy.
And he played Chris Kyle.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper did play Chris Kyle.
Two celebrities at once.
Yeah, he is an official friend of the show, even if he's never been on the show or heard about the show. All right, Walter, here's your three. Are you ready to play the FKM game?
Let's do it.
Okay, here you go. Your three. And only because I know that you are a diehard Yankee fan.
Oh, shit, you motherfucker.
David Ortiz, Terry Francona, and Sherry Phelps Roper from the Westboro Baptist Church. Go.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely kill that bitch from the Westboro, without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a doubt. In the ground. I'd have to fuck David Ortiz because he came from Boston, so I'd always like to strip somebody from Boston. And, you know, I'd marry another Yankee. You know, I would. You know what I'm saying? I might have to go Caitlyn Jenner on it, but you know what I'm saying? That's just the way I feel about that shit.
All right. All right, Dustin, it's up to you. Now you got to pick three for me. Go.
Prince or sign, whichever one you want to go with.
Oh, shit.
Marilyn Manson or Gene Simmons.
Oh, shit. Gene Simmons, Marilyn Manson, and who?
Prince.
God damn it. We're coming down to it. I think it's going to keep recording, but we're going to act like we're going to stop, and then if it stops us, let me see. Fuck. I'm killing Prince, because Purple Rain is my fucking least favorite song of the whole world. I'm marrying Gene Simmons because the dude's fucking badass. Yeah. Detroit Rock City. And then who was the third one?
Marilyn Manson.
It doesn't matter. I'm fucking Marilyn Manson because that guy is just fucking. Oh, I'm wearing six condoms. Whatever.
Yeah, you're fucking him because of the beautiful people. The beautiful people.
Oh, shut the fuck up. All right, Dustin,
you know,
but
he's got
yours.
No ribs, you know. He could bend in all ways, you know.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. All right, Dustin, here you go. Bradley Manning, now known as Chelsea Manning, Bo Bergdahl, or...
Oh, dickhead.
Or Jane Fonda. Go.
Son of a bitch. I got to kill... Well, you know who I'm going to kill. I spent a long time looking for the little fucker. Bo Bergdahl's dad. Jane Fonda. Who? I'd hate fuck her. And I guess I'm going to have to marry Chelsea or whatever the fuck. The Manning kid. God, that sucked.
Well, the fucking show's over, it looks like. They fucking cut us off.
I hope it cut me off before I had to say those words.
We'll pick it up next week. We'll pick it up next week.
All right, now I got to go to a wedding and slow dance with my wife.
A wedding? It's fucking 11:30.
Keep your enthusiasm down, buddy.
Well, yeah. I'm wearing my Blues Brothers. I'm wearing my Blues Brothers shirt out there. I don't give a fuck.
There you go.
With any luck, there's an open Elwood.
Hey, keeping it classy, San Diego. Keeping it classy.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. All right, boys. We'll pick this. We'll pick this up. Same time, same channel next week.
Brother.
Hell
hey,
yeah.
Give me a call.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Hey, give me a call when you're done.
All right, sounds good.
All right, later.
All right,
later.
Peace and cheers, brothers.
Peace, guys.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. Sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around.